As we always do on Your Calls Media Roundtable, we start off by highlighting really good journalism that stood out this week. So, Marissa, let's start off with you. What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, I hate to cheat here, but it's not my news organization, but I'd like to recognize the work by ICIJ because they were doing independent stories separate from ours, and they complement our stories, so I wanted to recognize them. They did a story on art, the major art that can be found connected within the offshores, and they also did a great story on some former spies that can be found in the offshore.
And Marissa, there's so much reporting on the Panama Papers, and we'll talk about this later in the show, but since you gave kudos to another outlet for doing their reporting on this, what advice would you give to people who want to learn more about this but don't have time to read all of the articles?
I think the best way that people can find out about this is obviously on Twitter and Facebook, because that's actually how the story took off. And I think that ICIJ has been doing a very good job on Twitter and Facebook of compiling the stories and on their website. And we actually all have coding, at least in the U.S. I don't know elsewhere, but all of our stories have a special coding that identify our stories as part of the consortium. And so I think ICIJ has done a good job of helping us all have a forum where our stories can be seen at least through them.
All right, and we've got a lot of links also at yourcallradio.org. What about you, Michael? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, you know, I'm gonna give many shout outs to McClatchy during the rest of the show as we talk about Panama Papers. But I want to go outside of Panama Papers briefly and talk about a story that Elizabeth Mitchell at the Daily News did. It was late last week, but I'm cheating a little bit, but it's so good, it's so important. Elizabeth Mitchell at the New York Daily News did a story called Soccer Wars that published online on March 30th, which is about the really sort of gross mistreatment and abuse of the women's national soccer team. Huh. You know, and she did this before the women's national team filed a lawsuit. So I'll just give you a quick couple quick sentences from this where you can get the flavor of it. Women are told their games don't draw television viewers compared to men, yet 26.7 million Americans tuned into last summer's World Cup final, a record number to watch a soccer game, any soccer game in this country. To put that figure in perspective, it exceeds the number that watched the 2015 NBA Finals championship game featuring Stephen Curry and LeBron James, the two most popular players in the league. More than 760 million people watched the Women's World Cup worldwide, joined by another 86 million who viewed it online. So it's just a great story about pay inequality, mm-hmm. and just mistreatement, and just and we can talk a little bit about FIFA and some of the offshore revelations in the Panama Papers, but I think it was a great story, and I urge people to go to the New York Daily News and read it.
Well, so kudos to Elizabeth Mitchell with the New York Daily News about women's soccer. Dave Zirin at The Nation has been writing about this also, and he just exposed the fact this week that women receive $10 less per day than men for their meal allowances on the road. So
that's just the start of it in terms of the inequity. I think you'll find that somebody who plays on the practice squad of an NFL team is making more than a world champion women's national soccer team member.
Right. Well, we will also link to that important story at yourcallradio.org, and then maybe do a show about this because this is